I'm not saying go and shoot cops, but I'm saying that everybody coming out of the woodworks like violence isn't the answer, blah, 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 blah. Well, violence has been the answer multiple times in history to get and fight to get what you want. I personally know that if black people were to go to war with cops, we would lose. And that's why I'm saying that's not the answer in this.
The 13 colonies, right? No taxation without representation. Mm-hmm. With what was these? With Britain. Mm-hmm. You know, they were tired of that, and they were like, "Yo, this shit is." So they went to war. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So they went violence, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's multiple wars after that. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, to go back to what you were saying, this isn't a war we can win.
Absolutely.
You know, and this isn't the answer.
Not
this isn't
the solution anyways.
For us. No, we can't. So we do need to, I think Killer Mike laid out the blueprint, and look, I've said this before, America is a capitalistic country. It's built on that. And that's the way you can get some form of representation.
But you know what? The violence is not the answer, right? We all know that, because we can't win. But it's part of the process because of the grieving,
absolutely,
because of the frustration. Mm-hmm. Because when I put myself in that situation, yo, you take away a family member
Could
of
you
mine.
Imagine?
I can't. All I know is that I'm not a violent person.
Okay.
But damn it.
Don't push me.
And I understand it. And with so many people dying, with so much stuff happening, it's part of the process. Now, that's not going to stop what's happening. Again, what's going to stop it is the systematic thing. But just understand that clapping back, the violence, all of that stuff, I believe can subside and will subside once we hit them where it hurts. But part of that is to be expected. It's part of the blowback. You kill us, there's going to be some of y'all as casualties as well. It's just what's going to happen.
The problem is this. Yes, clapping back is part of the process for certain people. The sad part is these people don't have others to show them that that's not the only way you can get back at them. And that's the part that sucks. It's a lot harder to sit down and say, you know what, how can I actually address this real issue? We don't have enough people that are out there like Killer Mike that are saying, look, this is the better way.
Well, of course.
Violence is not always part of the process.
To be
and again,
though.
I'm not saying it's not, but I'm saying it's not part of the process. Anger is. You can never tell another person how to process their grief. Mm-hmm. And that's what I feel like a lot of white America does. They look at you and they say, you know what, don't act like this. Don't react this way. You can't tell me how I'm supposed to react.
Sure.
If my mom gets punched in the face, I'm punching you, and I might punch you, you, and you too.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that's not the best way to process these things. And violence does not have to be part of the process.
But
anger is.
But sometimes you don't know, like, if you're being bullied, right? And you're like, and you yell at them, stop, leave me alone. This is my violence. You continue to yell at them and you push back or whatever, and they continue to bully you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you hit that over and over again.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you're like,
you can't,
this is serious.
Right.
Yep. I'm gonna leave him alone. I'm gonna move on to somebody
or
else.
In our case, what do? They go back and get 13 of their friends and then they us up. That's what I'm saying. We cannot be putting these ideas out there.
No,
I think
I'm
we should be.
Ideas.
It kind of sounds like you are a little bit. So
no,
I'm not attacking you. I'm just saying it almost sounds like we're kind of giving him a reason for what he did. I understand it.
Oh, okay.
I understand
it.
But what I'm saying is, what I want to make very clear is that is not to be supported. We have to fight this system the way they act.
Yeah.
America loves violence. America loves war.
Money in it.
No, you're right.
We're
100%.
Back to the money,
right? You're right. 100%.
Follow the money.
But
follow
America money. Loves violence. And violence is a game that we will not win. We have to make sure that people understand that. We don't want no more of us to go out there and die. We don't want that.
We got a plot. Like, we almost have
exactly.
to have secret meeting.
Yes.
Like, this is how. This,
that's
you
how
know,
the Black so, Panthers did.
I mean, yes, yeah, it's really not. Like, it's
there
really
you go,
history repeating itself. Like,
right. Black Panthers carry guns for protection.
For
self-protection.
Yeah.
They did not carry guns to be
just
attacking.
Right.
And that's why people, they're like, oh, Black Panthers were terrorists.
No, they
no,
weren't.
They weren't.
They were all about
their communities. Never attacked people. It was all about self-defense. If you can carry a gun, I can carry a gun.
Right.
I completely agree with that. But we have to think more like they thought.
And Killer Mike, that's the start. Like, I feel like that's
I didn't even
way.
See what he said. Was it a video?
I'm on the side of, you know, attacking economically. But I understand Mike Xavier Johnson.
I want to let you know, so do I.
Yeah, I understand it.
Yep.
I don't like it. I think that's the wrong answer, but I understand.
But you get it, yeah.
I get it.
Well,
I get it.
So I think that's the distinction that people, a lot of people need to make.
Yeah.
I understand it. I don't support it. I understand it.
And I like, and I saw a headline. I didn't hear what Killer Mike said, but I saw the results of it. I saw a headline that said there was $100 million that went into this bank that you guys are talking about.
It's so made it to $100 million.
Not just that one, that's a great thing. It's not even just that bank.
Right.
It's a whole bunch of other black-owned banks that this is happening. Yes.
Yeah.
There was Anthony Bourdain is the guy on the Food Network. Some of you guys may know him, some of you guys may not. But
Bourdain.
He was in Bourdain. He was in Mississippi. He was in Jackson, Mississippi. He was talking about just the food and all the industry. And he asked one of the black owners of the restaurant, he was like, what happened? And he said this, and I've heard this idea tossed out there before, but he said that integration was the wrong thing to happen. It was hurtful to black America because there was a lot of prosperity when it was separated in those communities, and there was some togetherness. And once that happened, it opened up the gates for white corporations or corporations in general to come in and just gentrify a lot of those places, tear those places down, because it opened up those communities. And that has been tossed out there often in saying that when things were separated, we were, you know, more prosperous. We had these communities. We had Black Wall Street and all this other stuff, which, you know, they eventually bombed that and tore that down too. You know, this whole fight for equality started in, you know, the discussion started in 1808, a long time ago. And it's been an ongoing struggle and a fight to kind of get to where we are. And going back to this All Lives Matter movement versus the Black Lives Matter, all lives don't matter. You know, and Q said this, and there are a lot of people that are saying this, right? That when you really look at it, to white supremacists or Anglo-Saxon Americans or whatever, in America in general, all lives haven't mattered much to them. Because when you look and you go back and history tells us, genocide to the Indians.
My God.
Know, when the Irish and the Italians were coming over, they didn't like them either. It's in Whiteness of a Different Color by Matthew Jacobson, I believe is the author. The immigrants right now, they're the, you know, it's like, oh, you're coming, you're taking our country back. All lives don't matter. You know what I'm saying? We had to fight for freedom and continue to fight for equality. We got so-called free. You know, but they're still.
That was only in 1970 when we technically became free.
Right. This is new.
Right.
We're still learning and kind of getting, you know, our together. This fight for this equality and struggle and all this stuff. Like, America has never given a f- about African Americans.
People of color.
People of color. African Americans in general. This has been ongoing. This has been a fight. You can just Google and you can understand the hurt and the pain that we're feeling. And now we're being killed.
My thing is,
now
how are you? Right.
Well,
because my thing is, right, it's like, you know, we've been getting killed. And now I think the way I think of it is scary, because now with the internet and cell phone age, we're seeing it.
Yeah.
So just imagine, back in 45,
crazy stuff that happened.
When you only got pictures.
Like, I think now, now the internet and the camera, I just always think like, man, this is so scary because we're seeing this now. And it's like,
you know what I think is really, really interesting that I don't think enough people are pointing out is with every single killing so far, there's always been a witch hunt that follows immediately after. They find a gold tooth picture. Oh, he used to be a felon. Oh, he had sex with a girl that was underage when he was 20. Fine. They have not found a single thing on Castillo. He was a teacher. Mm-hmm. All of his children loved him.
Yep.
He was registered.
His coworkers.
No criminal background. Why aren't we talking about that? Because every other time, the first thing they do is, he was doing this. Oh, well, he was doing that. All he was doing was following the orders of the cop. And I think another thing that needs to be stressed is I do not agree with the sentiment that these cops go out and they are thinking, I'm going to kill this person. I think that these cops have training, one. Two, the cops that belong to those communities are not patrolling those communities.
Absolutely.
So they don't give a about those communities. Yeah. Yep. So I think that those two things are one of the, like, they're the main issues that we have. Mm-hmm. These cops need better training and they need to actually be involved in these communities. Yeah. Not just driving your car through and giving people dirty looks.
Like, evaluate them better too. Like, well, that's, I don't know, it needs to be some kind of psychological
Okay, the other day, like, I saw an article where I guess a police officer killed a black police officer because he thought he was like a part of like a crime or something like that. Pretty much a cop killed a black cop and there was no indictment. And so it's kind of like, okay, blue lives matter, but then do they? Because it's like, if you can't even be held accountable for killing your own kind, what, to what standard, you know what I'm saying? Like, is there no type of system that, they're above the law at this point.
Because they are the law.
And they know they're above the law. Right. And they can, you know what I'm saying?
Like, my word against you.
I was thinking,
and you did.
What you were saying about Philando Castile, if he went like this, right, his hands are on the dashboard, because we talked about this in my house. So my parents were talking about like, okay, what happened? Because, you know, they're not on Twitter and stuff. So we're explaining to them what happened and they're trying to give their opinion or whatever they would have done differently maybe in the situation. Mind you, my parents are from the Caribbean. They're not American, so they really don't.
They don't understand really.
They're here, but they're not, their background isn't here. So they kind of know, but they're like, they don't really understand. So they're talking to my brother, me, my sister-in-law, and we're all sitting around the table and they're like, you know, well, I would have had, no matter what scenario they gave, they started to understand nothing would have changed the situation.
Exactly. It's very easy to be cynical. It's not as easy to be analytical. When you watch that video, you can tell that cop just had training. He immediately saw a black person and said, that guy's violent, and I'm gonna watch you. Oh, he reached, bam, done. I don't think he walked into that situation and said, I'm gonna kill me a black person today. He didn't.
So this couldn't have been a taser?
It absolutely could have, but that's what I'm saying.
So what's the problem?
You're not getting it. He did not show up to that scenario and say, I'm going to kill me a black person today.
Okay.
Either did those cops who killed Alton Sterling. I don't think they did. I think that these cops are just cops that do not need to be police officers. Are they racist? Probably so. But I don't think they are the kind of race that are just like, I'm gonna kill me a nigger today. Let me just drive out here and find me one. They're not doing that.
Does that matter though? Does it matter?
No, it does matter. It does matter. And I'll tell you why it matters. Because just like we said a little while ago, there needs to be better training and there needs to be more psychological evaluation of these police officers. But the idea that there are, I'm sure these cops exist, don't get me wrong. In these situations, I do not think that that's what happened.
See, right, and what I wanna know is like, why does that matter? What does it matter if they wanted to, before they pulled up, they wanted to kill the black person, and then they killed him. That's all that matters at the end of the day.
I think it matters around it. It impacts it. I don't believe I'm with
why?
You.
Why does that matter?
Because
why
does it, matter?
The problem can be fixed. That's what I'm saying. If you look at it and you say those cops just wanted to kill black people, the problem cannot be fixed. The situation is completely fixed. We have to wash our hands and say this is the way it's going to be forever. But if you look at that and you try to look at it analytically and say, you know what? I think that guy's just a cop. He's probably a person in general too.
Right.
But I don't think he walked into the situation saying, I am going to kill this man.
Okay.
So, Mike,
the problem can be fixed. It's just we have to figure out how to fix it. Actually, no. We don't have to figure out how to fix it. We just have to demand that it be fixed. Yeah. It's up to the police departments to fix it themselves.
They'll hold each other accountable.
They need to hold each other accountable. There needs to be more police officers, even though I understand why they don't. We discussed this before. There needs to be more police officers that come out and say, you know what, this
is crooked. I see where Rod's coming from, because there's plenty of videos of white people waving guns, being violent toward cops, and guess what? The cops are banded together with shields and shoot people with a rubber bullet and then take your gun from you and then lock you up.
Oh, there's plenty of videos out there.
Of course. So at the end of the day, and I agree with you too.
But there's also there's also stories of like the white kid who got shot because his pants were hanging down.
Oh.
I don't know his name.
Dylan Noble was the guy in the car who got into an argument and he mysteriously ended up shot. He was a white kid, 19 years old, happened last year.
But my whole point is there are white people who are being killed by cops.
Oh,
and if you look at the statistics, there's a lot
But you have to then question, just like he just did, you have to then question the media about why this is not being covered.
Right, right.
Because the cop problem is a lot bigger than we think it is. We think it's just us.
No, we don't.
That cop.
It's primarily us.
Exactly.
It's not just us,
right. But it's primarily us. And the reason why I agree with Rob, why is that important? Because what provoked it was the color of his skin. And that is right. The biggest problem. And that's why I agree with you. It comes down to training. It comes down to that.
Subconsciously, There's a bias or this stereotype in his head that black skin is being criminalized.
Please understand that I'm not saying that these cops are not racist. What I'm saying is I do not think that these particular cops are specifically setting out and saying, you know what? I don't think that guy walked up to his car and said, I'm killing him today.
Like they woke up like, I'm gonna kill me a nigga today.
They didn't.
Right.
I don't think that.
Right.
But
right.
They don't
just
give
listen,
a fuck.
Just listen to me for a second.
Okay, I'm listening.
Yeah, but why does that matter? Like,
because
the day,
situation can be fixed, Rod. If his intent was not to kill Castile, if his intent was not to kill him, but all he had from the training is, if you see this guy and you think he's rich, shoot him. If he had better training, then perhaps Castile would be alive today. That's what I'm saying.
And kind of like what Mike is saying is that if the policy is to pull a taser and not a right pistol,
exactly.
Then, you know, things could be different. So,
you don't think that's the
like
policy? You don't think
the police
that's what
reform?
He was trained to do?
Huh?
You think he was trained to pull a gun out?
Cops will tell you that. They are trained to shoot to kill. Because people always say, well, why do you have to shoot him in the chest? Why do you have to shoot him 12 times? Because that's how they're trained.
For a traffic stop in the day, broad day.
No. They're not trained to kill you for a traffic stop. They're trained to kill you if they feel threatened.
Right. Exactly. And that's
the problem.
And the problem is the fact that you feel threatened just because I'm black.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that goes back to the mental evaluation of these people.
Right.
They just need to.
So, Mike is saying you have to, that with in police reform, you can institute policies and procedures to remove part of that racial biasness that comes with, you know, pulling over a black person by
absolutely
using a taser as part of a traffic stop for a taillight instead of a gun. You know, so but you have to get the institutions to get behind that. That racial that part of you that's racist or feel like that black person is
yes,
a threat to you,
that.
You can't fix that.
Right.
If he pulls out a gun instead of a taser, and the policy is a taser, then you can indict that guy and put him in jail. That's where Mike is coming from.
Yeah. Thank you, Ken.
Yeah.
I think this is the last thing I want to bring up is the part about the coverage that you mentioned about why nobody's covering Dylan Noble. I think this guy's name, forgive me if it's not, because it's very similar to the guy that killed in South Carolina. It's because black media, the death of blacks are being monetized. Because it's being sensationalized because by the media. And there was something that Elon James Wright said on CNN where he said that, you know, he kind of questioned the video. He was like, why do people need to see video of a black death to understand the problem? And he said that for some people, yes, they need to see it. He said, but this has been ongoing for a while. You shouldn't have to see that.
And that's why I didn't watch it.
You know, but my argument against that slightly is that without seeing it, you wouldn't understand the problem really existed. In other words, it sounds like you can have stats and data and this, that, other. Some people need to see it. Some
people are visual.
Right. Think about, if you think about.
That's a problem, bruh. If you need to see a black person die and have a problem with it, that's an issue.
So,
that's an issue. I'm gonna fuck up your visual, psychological, cerebral.
That's crazy. Because sometimes people need to see the that happened. Like, if you think about Selma, right?
I'm not disagreeing.
Think about Selma and what happened when that whole incident went down on Selma. When that video got out. And think of the changes and stuff that happened afterwards.
Because people get so used to it.
Right.
Because when you see words like in a report or something like that, your brain kind of makes it into what, like, whatever your experience it is, right? Like that's how you're gonna perceive whatever that article is. Mm-hmm. But video tells you exactly
how there's no wandering.
Because that's what it is.
Yeah, because I give you an example. Because I heard about the shooting of Alton Sterling. I was like, oh yeah, another shooting. But when you see that, it's like
different.
Holy
kind of
like I remember
it's different.
Yeah, kind of similar to the little sports, but the Roger Goodell thing, Ray Rice, like mm-hmm. you hear it,
exactly.
Like, okay,
exactly.
Just, you know, he probably just domestic violence. But when domestic you saw the video, and
yeah, him, yeah,
that only hit his wife on the face and she yeah. fell.
Drug and stuff.
No, I mean, I get all that, but what I'm saying is,
it should not have to come to that point.
Of course, where you have to see a video to be bothered. Now the thing is, I'm not gonna. I watched the first Sterling video and I was like, Jesus Christ, man, that's just terrible. Mm-hmm. And that was, you didn't even see him get shot.
Nope.
Right.
And it was the second video that I saw. That didn't change my feeling.
Right.
What it did was, it f***ed me off because there were so many posting this like it was the latest World Star video. Mm. And that's the problem, because you're not helping a situation. Now what you're doing is you're making Black Death entertainment.
Yes. Yep.
So stop posting this. You don't, and, but that's a big problem, because it's not changing minds. It's not like we got more people on the side because, oh, there's a video, now I'm more upset. No, the video didn't change.
Yep. But it now what you, though.
It didn't.
It did for me, like.
Well, for you, you're black. But I think it affects you.
I think for the most people, because when you hear about it and when you see it, it's two different things.
For y'all, they're still saying that this is not a race issue.
No,
still
what I'm saying is that I didn't look at it as entertainment. I was like, oh my God, like this is really a problem. Like this is really becoming.
Let 12 of these happen.
What are people
gonna do then? I saw the video and I went on Facebook and there were 5 different people posting this video. And my immediate reaction was, why the f*** are you posting this on Facebook? What are you trying to accomplish with this? And then I said, think about this. We just saw the news report of this poor kid. His dad is dead. He's breaking down.
Yeah.
Now you sacks are posting this to get likes and comment and start think pieces. This man's dead.
He lost his father.
This guy is dead. People don't understand that. I think that at this point in America's history, we really don't understand what death means. And y'all really think, oh, we post this video 12 times and it's gonna change people's minds and then people are gonna see it and say, oh, now Black Lives Matter. No, they're not. Because all it's gonna take is 12, 13 more of these videos and they're gonna get desensitized to that too.
I think that for some people, yes, it is. And I think seeing that, but I'm looking at that second video of him being pinned down and actually visually seeing it. The problem I have is what you're talking about. The problem I had is the massive media coverage of it,
right?
Because ratings go up, clicks go up,
exactly,
likes, and all of this stuff that goes up with that.
But awareness goes up.
But we're still stuck in the same rut.
Awareness does go up as well. Awareness does not go up
just because you posted a graphic video. It doesn't.
I'm saying it gets spread. Like it goes viral. You know why?
Because people are sick. Because people, why would you even want to click that?
I'm sure there are sick people that want to just see it or whatever. But there is an amount of people that like, oh snap, I didn't know that happened. Because there's a lot of people that don't even watch it. I'm like one of the people that don't watch the news like that. But I'll see occasionally something that comes across my feed on Twitter or something. And that's how I you know,
right. What you said
information.
Is 100% accurate. It is not necessary. You see what I'm saying? Like, was it necessary for you, Rod, to see the video to understand what happened?
No. It wasn't necessary, no.
But when you watched it, it changed your perception on
it,
correct?
It made me.
All right, so
I felt.
You feel different.
Differently.
You feel different.
I feel more woke and I want to do something. I want to, you know, I just want to figure out what's going on.
It hits you emotionally different. So I'm not saying that it's necessary. These videos, that's why I stayed off of social media.
Yeah.
I put it, everybody that follows me, I'm not on Twitter like that anymore, right? And I put out there, I am not going to comment on nobody's post about this. This is my platform here on Dead End Hip Hop. You will hear my opinion here. I don't have to watch all of these videos to understand that there's a problem, Mike. I 100% agree, but at the same time, we don't need to over-sensationalize this stuff because people are making money off of this, and that's very fucked up.
Exactly.
That's it, and that's why it's not necessary. I agree, but at the same time, I think that where we are now, especially with everybody having these camera phones, to sometimes see these acts changes your perception of them.
What I'm saying is that second video was not necessary. The only people that need to see that is hopefully a jury, because hopefully this will be indicted.
Right.
I'm just telling you right now, if I get killed, don't put that on Dead End Hip Hop. Don't post that on your Twitter. Don't put no videos of me dying nowhere. Just understand that I'm dead. I'm not coming back.
It's a lot of emotions. There's so much that goes into it. I feel like it's so deep. I just wish the world, and I want the world to understand the concept, I guess, or just love in general. Like, that's it. I know it sounds cheesy, but it's really that simple.
At this point, as a young black man, it's like, I hate to say this, and it's just the way this country is. It's like, I'm starting to be numb to this. It's like, every time when I hear about a young black, a black male, period, because, you know, I think of you guys, I think of my dad, I think of, you know, my godson and other, you know, men that's important in my life. And I just, it's like hearing that all the time. We've been witnessing this and hearing this for hundreds and hundreds of years. And it's like, I hate to feel numb. I shouldn't feel numb about it, but it's like, I'm starting to feel numb because this is like, what's new? It's like every time I hear something, what's new? What's not saying that I don't care, but it's just like, damn, what's new? Like again. And then when my man from Minnesota got killed, I'm like, really? It was just like, I didn't even know how to feel. I didn't even know what to feel. Like once that happened again, I'm like, this is crazy, man. So it's just, I hate that I feel that way when stuff like this happened, but we just gotta do better. I'm 100% with Killer Mike, because I shared, now that's the video I shared like 3 or 4 times on different social media posts, was the Killer Mike video. I'm definitely with him, and me and my dad been talking about this for a long time. Like, yes, money has to stay. We have to stay within our community, man. Like, open up an account with a black bank if you can. If you do it this week, do it tomorrow or whatever. Like, I'm definitely with Killer Mike on that. Money is where it's gonna hit them the most.
So to kind of piggyback off of what B said and off of what Rock said, love is cool or whatever, but that's not what I'm focused on. I'm focused on taking the money and putting it where it needs to be so that you can show people where you need to be mentally in this whole, you know, situation to just kind of better, you know, your communities and kind of build that up so we can start demanding stuff and they can start caring. Whether they want to be racist or not, that's not my problem. But what I'm saying is that financially speaking, we have a voice and we need to put our dollars where it counts. Number two, I want to say that I'm not responding to anybody else who says all lives matter. I'm not explaining that to you. You can Google why. That's common sense. If you don't understand that at this point, there's just no proving that to you. I'm not going to exhaust myself explaining that to you. And the third thing, my final thought on this conversation is that I really want people to don't stop at the black men who are dying in this situation. It is black women dying that nobody's talking about. It's other people dying in this situation that nobody's talking about. It's people who are black and trans who are dying, black and gay who are dying. But when I go to these protests, everybody's there. LGBT is there, white people are there, straight people are there, trans people are there. All these people are there, but when somebody who's trans die, you know what I'm saying? Oh, well, we're just gonna kinda like be silent on that. When somebody who's a female die, you know, who's a woman that dies, everybody's kind of like, oh, we're silent on that. The only people that gets this type of publicity of it and like the movement really rolling is the straight black men that die. And I just feel a way about that because yes, Black Lives Matter. I agree with that, but I agree in all aspects. I've literally seen straight people, like black men who are like, oh, equality, this and that and the other, but then you want to silence other people who are marching with your ass for you. So you need to cut that shit out. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to equality, it's all or nothing.
I'm tired of talking about it, man. I feel y'all, and I didn't want to have this conversation, but I know it's necessary, which is why usually when you bring these kind of things up, I'm just like, man, this is not about hip hop. We don't need to talk about this. At this point, it doesn't matter if it's about hip hop or anything else. It needs to be discussed. I'm just tired of talking about it. Because I feel like as a community, we just need to be focused, and it's just so hard to focus when you have to repeatedly get angry because we can never get past the grieving process because the band-aid just keeps getting ripped off. Like the second scalp up, here you come, man, bam again. It's like, I'm angry all over again. Let me get through my anger. Let me calm down and then let me process and then let me plan. I'm not getting past the anger part. And that's so frustrating, but yeah, man, I just feel terrible for these families, and something really needs to happen with these police departments. I really wish there were more officers that were working in poor and urban communities, not just working, but living and actively participating in these communities, because I really feel like that would change a lot of the problem, which is another reason why I say that intent matters. I'm not with running out capital. I don't want any more people, black young people, to die. And that's all that's gonna happen if we go down the route of the sniper dude. I want people to live and prosper and be happy.
It's difficult, and like Mike said, these conversations are necessary. Sometimes, I was going back and forth, honestly, when all of this stuff was happening. I'm like, I know we need to speak about it. I don't know if I want to speak about it anymore, because we spoke about Mike Brown. Like, we've been pretty active when, you know, stuff in the culture happens. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I feel like I don't necessarily do enough, right? Because I'm happy with my own status quo. And what this does, it makes everybody uncomfortable because it hits so close. And I think that we have to understand that it's the system that has to change, but we have to understand that system. And until we understand that system, it's not until we won't be able to make those changes. Sometimes I just don't have the answer when it comes to this regard. I feel helpless, like a lot of other people do. But when you have people like a Killer Mike that's telling you or giving you some alternative routes that can and will make a positive impact, that will give you a voice, right? Then that's what we have to do. But I also want to tell people out there that are watching this, go support Hidden Colors. There's also another lady on YouTube. I'll put it out on my social media. I was trying to find it so I could give you her name and everything. She talks about like how we've never recovered from slavery and how we keep just putting a Band-Aid over this and we don't understand the Constitution at that time, the laws at that time, how we were viewed at that time, even Malcolm X. Exactly. The Constitution isn't written for us, because in the Constitution, we're 3/4 of a man, so therefore we're not even human. So how the hell, as a black man, you're gonna stand up and say my constitutional right when the people that wrote this don't even see you as a human being? All of that knowledge, all of that stuff is the things that we need to arm ourselves with. We need to have those leaders and those mentors a la Killer Mike, a la David Banner. You know what I'm saying? That we can have these ideas to enlighten us, to open us up, to see things from a different perspective. So then now we know how to actually hurt and cause change. And that's what we need at this point. We need to get out of our comfort zones and to do things that give us a voice. Dead in Hip Hop, like I've always said, was a platform for me to do that. And that's why I've always been here. That's why I share my opinion. And that's why I think that we need people, platforms, and things that keep it real, keep it honest, and keep it moving in a positive way, man.
First, I want to thank all of you guys for willingly and unwillingly having this discussion with me. I understand that, you know, we've been having these type of discussions for quite some time. It does grow very, very tiresome. I think about what Rock said about love. And how love conquers all. And I thought about what B said about when something happens, he thinks about, you know, us and his family and the people that he's close to. And so do I. I think about my two sons who are going to be black males growing up in this country. And this is a fight that I feel like I have now with this platform that has been built to discuss hip hop, but I think it's been built to kind of discuss stuff outside of that. And I think the same way we talk about how other people should use their platform and their voices, we have to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. I think we bear a certain responsibility with that, and it doesn't have to be all of us, but I think for us to remain silent wouldn't be the right thing to do. But I also think that love is also represented at these protests and stuff that Sophie was talking about, and that, you know, in life you have that duality, that good versus, you have that representation, and I think that's important. And I love what you said about Black Lives Matter for everybody. Everybody is in this fight against what we're facing. We understand that the All Lives Matter. I'm like you. I'm not discussing that anymore, because historically we've seen that all lives just hasn't mattered to white supremacists out here that has a certain view. We need to stay focused on what we're fighting. And we can't become distracted. But I think all of you guys that are thinking about this in the right way, that are in this fight with us all, when you look at where we are with police brutality across the board, the race relations across the board, culminated with having a black president when all of this stuff kind of started to kind of come back to the surface. We have a long way to go, and we got guys like Donald Trump who wants to bring real America back.
God bless.
But we know what that's code for.